gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, don't you love it when we make a joke and then it becomes real?
Yes.
And there's going to be another woman, and she's going to get Gloria Allred as her attorney.
Kaboom!
Mr. Kane, Gloria Allred for you on line four.
You make a joke on Friday, and what do I set down in front of you this morning?
Oh, heavens. New woman alleging sexual harassment by Herman Cain will go public today, yep. Monday, with her attorney, Gloria Allred. Oh. My close personal friend, Gloria. All right. We remember dancing at my birthday party.
That's here right.
Ago to a, what was she dancing to? Poker face? Something. It was
something.
Disturbing visual in that
yeah,
suit.
It was fun.
However, she had the best line of the party. She's like, Meg Whitman spent $50 million, and I took her down with my chalkboard.
Yeah.
Woo!
You know, she may seem like a pit bull in public, but when you
she's
talk
cuddly.
To her,
she's
she is the nicest woman.
She is.
Yeah.
And cuddly.
Yep.
All right. All right, so we will see what time that is. Maybe I'll give Glow a little call and see if I can get some inside info on what's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, sexy liberalness, you know, the whole next sexy liberal show may have to be a Herman Cain Palooza
I think
edition.
So.
Yeah, a lot of groping and pawing in addition to the normal teabagging.
Yeah.
Off to Austin this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, and then the big hometown show in Buffalo, New York. I already got a dinner set up with all my high school friends.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They're just happy I'm not making them be in the skits anymore.
Wait a minute. What about those Pizza Brothers? Are you going to have dinner with them?
I still deny that I ever slept with a Pontillo. I don't... me searching my memory banks. And then the big show just announced Friday. Dear God, and I hear these VIP tickets are almost gone.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Vengeance Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, kids. All right, it is Monday. You know who's here, my favorite. Yep, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Great stuff on the Herman Cain thing, as usual. Sometimes it's like shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it? Brent Bozell said that the news media has ignored the Paula Jones story while they're over-covering the Herman Cain
really?
Story. Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch, right, Eric?
That's called sleeping through the 90s.
Yeah. You said a search of Nexus indicates the 90s aired more than 600 reports that mentioned the Paula Jones controversy in detail. I guess that's when sexual harassment was a big deal back then.
It was a very big deal for Republicans. It's funny. James Taranto, Wall Street Journal, was fretting at the end of the week, you know, why are we, you know, covering sexual harassment is an embarrassment to the press, and Politico got the story wrong. So I went back, I looked, the Wall Street Journal, just the editorial page, wrote 70-plus columns about Paula Jones during the 1990s.
Yeah.
But suddenly the topic is off-limits and too seemly to be covered bipartisan. But and Bozell was talking specifically about the networks. So if you just look at ABC, CBS, and NBC, over 600 Paula Jones reports during the 90s, but this sort of radical revisionism is the press ignores the Paula Jones story.
Well, you know, I had forgotten. It just seemed like forever, but as you point out, it was 7 years. It dragged through its way through the courts and was covered in the news. I'm like, what? Well, you know, it's... And then...
Oh, And Brent Bozell's crack staff, they did this. They did their one of their research items, and so they announced, they compared the Herman Cain coverage versus Paula Jones coverage, and all they did was look at 3 days after the very first Paula Jones press conference, which is like doing research on the Iraq War coverage, looking at the 3 days after the invasion and ignoring all the years after it.
Yeah, exactly. And then my other favorite piece of yours is, which we were saying, how hilarious, you say, how Cain campaign undercut Limbaugh, Coulter, and Bozell, because of course they were in full, this is a racist attack by liberals, and then they come out and say it was Rick Perry's campaign, right?
Yeah, the whole knee-jerk reaction, Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh, liberals hate black conservatives, this is a high-tech lynching, Herman Cain dared to leave the plantation, all this sort of insanely incendiary race-baiting stuff, and then the Cain campaign says, oh, by the way, we think the white Republican did it. It just sort of completely undercuts the race baiting that the folks on the far right love to sort of wallow in.
And then you just, as you point out, it's like Rush Limbaugh has become nearly unhinged over this. He just continues as if that didn't happen, as if they didn't point at the other white Republican.
By Friday, Limbaugh had announced that Cain had won the week and Politico had lost the week, and Politico's reporting had been completely demolished. I mean, that really is sort of just parallel universe territory. I mean, he's been, he got the story wrong all week, so what does he do? He sort of doubled down and announced,
I love that you point out that he called the Politico piece an unconscionable, racially stereotypical attack, and the article makes no reference at all to his race,
Right.
Made no reference to there was no reference to any race, but again, that didn't stop the right wing media from stressing out. But Rush Limbaugh, who has spent the last 3 years wallowing in sort of the most hateful race baiting against the Obama family, is now going to lecture people about what's unconscionable in terms of
and the double load of irony, as you point out, that he called sexual harassment a political tool of the left to get rid of people or score political gains, when he made his whole career talking about Bill Clinton and sexual harassment, right?
Yes, back to the 90s, sexual harassment was a very, very big deal. It was the cornerstone of the conservative movement to drive Bill Clinton from office, was sexual harassment. And then last week, Limbaugh announces that sexual harassment is a tool of the left.
Back in the 90s.
To achieve its political gains.
When he was a noted feminist back in the 90s, Eric,
he was very concerned.
Yes, he's slipped since then. Yes.
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days.
All right, thank you. All right, let's...
Yeah, Stephanie has been in Rush Limbaugh's radar. Uh-huh. So,
all right, let's dive into the right-wing world, Eric, shall we? All right. Bill O'Reilly, Occupy Wall Street again. Okay.
We told you from the jump the American people would not tolerate a radical movement. It's just not in our DNA to do that. Talking Points is proud that our reporting on the occupiers has been dead on, accurate every step of the way. Violence is now defining the group, destruction and harm to other people, front and center.
Okay. He's talking about what now?
Well, this is a nonstop sort of the smear that particularly New York Post and Fox News has just been obsessed with Occupy Wall Street. It's full of anti-Semites and racists and anarchists. And the New York Times poll last week showed that plurality of Americans supported Occupy Wall Street. So, again, parallel universe. I mean, in the Fox News world and the right-wing media, Occupy Wall Street are sort of these dirty, hippie, nut job.
Right. Well, which is it, right? Dirty, stinky peaceniks, or is it violent thugs? Which are they?
I know. It's all of the above. I mean, they're just hitting them with everything.
Yep.
And then they read these polls, and the American people essentially support the idea behind the protest.
Yeah, so I would have given anything.
That just fuels their frustration and their anger.
I know. I would have given anything to be Fox News when those polls started coming out. What? Leave. Ooh. Peter Johnson on Fox News.
Obviously, Oakland proves that, in fact, that they are the general strike, which is outlawed by the Taft-Hartley Act in the United States, is really the calling card of anarchists, socialists, and the most extreme part of American and world labor. This is social revolution of the world. This is end capitalism.
Wow.
Wow, they keep trying that one again. This is about ending capitalism when no one has said any such thing, Eric, at any of these events.
No, no. And again, they're sort of, they're grasping at straws. But what's interesting, you know, there was no Fox News during the 1960s. There was no this sort of unhinged right-wing media during the anti-war movement, during the Civil War, the Civil Rights Movement. We're getting sort of a snapshot of what it would have looked like in the 60s.
Yeah.
If the Fox News existed, and this is how they would have painted anti-war protesters, and this is how they would have painted civil rights protesters
yeah,
in
yeah.
the 50s and 60s. There's no doubt about it.
These stinky hippies are protesting the wildly popular Vietnam War. That would have been the... Eric Bolling on Fox News.
They're not only occupying space, the protesters at Wall Street are also blocking businesses and clogging the legal system, too. So, are the Occupy Wall Street folks really just trying to shut down the economy? How about occupy a job? How about occupy reality?
Get a job, get a haircut. It really is the 60s all over again.
Dirty hippies.
It really is the cultural war. And what's interesting, the other irony is, again, these are meaningless, irrelevant hippies. Nobody cares about them. But on Fox News, we're going to mention them every 15 minutes, every hour, every day, every month.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so obsessed with the story that they claim is completely meaningless.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny circle that they're sort of chasing their tail
after
day.
Speaking of funny, noted comedian Rush Limbaugh up next in Right Wing World. Eric Bolling remains in the sidecar. Right back, the rest of Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Hey, old
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Wayo. Sure. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Eric Bolling, our buddy, our pal, to continue Right Wing World. Well, I know I you do this for a living. I'm sorry to subject you to it again, but here is Rush Limbaugh.
There's no question that this is being done to a black conservative.
Sure.
That the left doesn't like black conservatives. The left doesn't like Hispanic conservatives. The left doesn't like minorities who are conservative, who show an ability to rise to the top of any organization they're in. The left doesn't like it. Well, that's right. I have crossed the line because the charge of racism is theirs exclusively to make. No one's allowed to make that charge, and here I come making the charge, and they can't deal. It's thrown right, hits them right upside the face, and they don't know what to do.
Mm. Well, except to point out that it's a big fat lie, because Perry.
This was the the knee-jerk response. This is the left going after Kane. This is the media, et cetera. Democrats have had absolutely nothing to do with this story. The press is simply reporting it. And as we talked about, you know, when the Kane campaign accused the Perry campaign of leaking the story, it completely undercut this notion. But again, you know, Limbaugh's in his own parallel universe, and he clings to this, and it makes him feel good, makes his listeners feel good, and they move further and further from reality.
Yeah, you know, I have to actually ask Eric, because I listen, so our listeners don't have to, but I can't do it all the time. What reaction did he have after the Kane campaign blamed the Perry camp? Did he even mention it?
I think he ignored it.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No, you can't ignore, you know, he never acknowledges his mistakes, and that's why on Friday he announced he had won the week. And Kane had won, and together they had defeated Politico and its awful reporting, even though in a week of hysterical ranting, Limbaugh hadn't been able to point to a single fact that Politico or anyone got wrong.
Yeah, because the media never reports sex scandals of any white guys or Democrats, as we know. Okay.
Exactly.
Juan Williams on Hannity.
People that disagree, people that leave the liberal orthodox playing field, people who want to think for themselves are immediately condemned as traitors. And if someone's a traitor, well, then, of course, they're a target. And I can't help but think that this week what we've seen with Herman Cain is a man, as he describes it, with a big target on his back, Sean.
Well, he has a target on his back because he's the front runner, the GOP front runner.
And he's a sexual harasser.
Yeah, not because he's black, Juan.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, you know, these are people sort of scrambling for alternative, you know, excuses, et cetera. There's nothing, there's zero indication out of a week of this story playing out that there was anything, you know, anything other than just regular journalism. I mean, these allegations were made years ago. Of course they're going to come out if he's running for president. Mm-hmm. There was one report last week, you know, the Republican consultant in Oklahoma went on the radio. He said everyone knew about it, and everyone knew when Cain ran for president we were going to talk about this someday.
Yeah.
There's nothing on tawdry going on in terms of the press and their coverage, and there's no conspiracy, and it's kind of just sad and funny to listen to people. That was Juan Williams on, like, Thursday or Friday. After all this story had played out last week, you know, it's sort of a last-ditch effort. He clings to this, you know, they're all against the, you know, the conservative black guy.
Yeah.
It's, none of it's true.
Hilarious. All right, we end with George Will on the, you know, this is what I've been saying. It literally is amazing that these Republican governors and conservatives, like, they celebrate the loss of public jobs. Like, that's a good thing.
80,000 isn't nearly enough to accommodate even the natural growth month by month of the workforce. There are two bits of good news in there. The 80,000 is a net number. The private sector created 104,000 jobs. The public sector happily shrank by 24,000 jobs. Both of that's good.
Bye-bye, teachers. Bye-bye, firefighters. Bye-bye, cops.
Isn't that just sort of it's creepy, celebrating people losing their job.
Yeah.
And people like George Will and one and others, you know, wonder why Republicans aren't going to win Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota next year. It's just creepy. I mean, to sort of, you know, take comfort in the fact that 24,000 people don't have a job this year.
Yeah. And, Eric, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just going to ask you about that related to Ohio, that, you know, I've said this from day one when we started the Sexy Liberal Show in Madison and we gave, you know, money to the recalls. I was saying there is something happening out here, you know, in this Republican overreach, and it looks like it's tomorrow, right? Ohio voters look like they're going to dump this Republican anti-union law there, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's not even going to be close. And it's interesting. I mean, we might have talked about this before if you just look at the politics of it. I mean, if there's a state that Obama won in 08 that he should just absolutely be toast if you listen to the media narrative, it's Ohio. I mean, high unemployment, blue-collar state, et cetera, et cetera. In the last poll that I saw, he had a 42% approval rating in Ohio, and there wasn't a Republican who beat him in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the right-wing media is going to have to deal with next year. They think they beat Obama because they've just dumped on him nonstop. But they forgot to create someone. They forgot to find a candidate who could beat him.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. With all the, you know, celebrating that's been going on about their win in the last midterms, I mean, you know, as you and I know, politics is cyclical. And, you know, it looks like it's swinging back the other way, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And to beat an incumbent in the United States, you it's not a vote of no confidence. You have to beat someone. You have to beat them with something.
Yeah, with something.
And right now, they don't have anything.
They got nothing. All right. Eric Bowler, great stuff as always. See you next week, hon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bless his heart.
They should make UConn Cornelius their spokesman. They get wahoo!
Wahoo!
Nothing.
Nothing.
Rude Pundit next.
Stephanie Miller.
I just found out that he's 17 years younger than me. I knew I shouldn't have done this. I look ridiculous.
Oh, nonsense. You've never looked better.
Shut up!
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, by the way, something that will make you laugh hysterically at me.
What?
I met my girlfriend Lisa's father for the first time this
weekend. How'd that go?
Terrific.
Good.
However, her stepmom, his wife, is younger than me.
Oh, dear. It runs in the family or something? I don't know.
She's younger than me. All right. Let's. I just had to sink in for a moment.
That's precious.
I actually, I said, oh my God, I can't believe your dad's is my age, and she goes, well, actually, honey, she's younger. I was like, oh dear God in heaven. All right.
Yeah, you're kind of old.
Is it wrong to be this excited about a press conference? Is it wrong to be constantly looking for Gloria Allred's face on television in the third?
It's not wrong at all.
Herman Cain accuser. Oh, I've never been so excited in my whole life. As Mike and Raleigh says, this is all turning into some kind of bad movie phone, isn't it?
Hello, and thank you for calling. This is all turning into some kind of bad movie phone. Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. If you know the name of the Republican candidate you'd like to see, President, press 1. If you have been sexually harassed by a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 3. You have selected Herman Cain. If this is correct, press 1. Herman Cain, rated NC-17, ends this Friday. If this is the candidate you want, press 1. Again, you have selected Herman Cain. If you really want Herman Cain to be your president, press 1. Okay, this is Herman Cain we're talking about, right? If so, press 1. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. Thank you for selecting Herman Cain. And thank you for using This Is All Turning Into Some Kind of Bad Movie Phone. Stay online to be connected to Air Canada reservation. Air Canada, we'll always be there for you.
Hey, Mike and Raleigh, that might have been my favorite. All right, speaking of my favorites, oh, yeah.
Lee Poppeth, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Come to Mama.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm entirely too festive this morning.
You're giddy for more sexual harassment?
Yeah. We selected Herman Cain.
Listen, Chris and I survived the 90s on a right-wing station.
Oh, my God.
Dear God, yeah, okay. Being the only Clinton defender in the universe. Yeah.
You get to have that karma wheel rotate back to you.
There you go. Well, you write a great piece this week. You know, you say, you know, the one thing that's really hilarious about conservatives, how they preach the personal responsibility dogma, and then when they're caught doing something wrong or up, it's always someone else's fault. Has something in a debate that makes them give an answer that reveals how bad or stupid they are, it's a gotcha question. If they discovered that a leading presidential candidate settled a pair of sexual harassment claims against him, he's now a prominent conservative targeted by liberals simply because he disagrees with their politics. Yeah, unbelievable, right?
Right. Well, you know, I don't understand how we're targeting him with things that actually happened in his past.
Yes.
You know, targeting him would be, I don't know, setting him up, sending an intern in to flirt with him and see what happens.
Yes.
You know, then we'd be targeting him.
Yeah. I love the your description of the Sean Hannity three-way with Ann Coulter and Dick Morris talking about the high-tech lynching, just like Clarence Thomas, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know. I and I'm so glad that our lynchings have gone high tech.
It's good that we've gotten better at it, I guess.
Lynching technology advancement. The whole thing about the even comparing it to Clarence Thomas is ludicrous, because Thomas was never any lawsuit against Clarence Thomas. I mean,
right.
Yes, what happened, but that was in those bad old days back, the Anita Hill case kind of brought sexual harassment out to the public consciousness in a way it hadn't been before. But there was no lawsuit that was ever settled. It was being tried during his hearing.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, and as only you can say it, you say now a liberal could get pretty damn upset and sputter. No, you, what, after what you did to Bill Clinton, and you're going to accuse us of anything? A blow up, rhino, you. That is, you know what, that's one of your...
That was more bleeps than words there.
Yeah, well, you got to go read it. I'm pretty good that was.
Yes, I think people can figure out which part of the rhino they need to blow. The horn.
The horn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
But as you say, screw it, the gig is up, they caught us again. You're right, smarty conservatives. This is totally the work of the same liberal cabal that faked Obama's birth certificate and made Larry Craig like to get his... in men's rooms. I'm just going to bleep all of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Well, you know what? That's actually the best advertisement for people to actually go to the blog and read.
Yes. They're like, oh, that she redacted too much. I must see what that actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
but
go ahead.
No, I just love this idea that whenever a conservative does something wrong, somehow liberals are to blame. You know, we have some kind of secret society that sets all of this up and just tempts people like Mark Foley with sweet, sweet boy meat.
Oh, my God. It's,
okay.
It's breakfast time.
Oh, dear. I'd like some of that right now. All right, and then we were just talking to Eric Bowler about Ohio. I mean, you talk about this study. The steep decline in the rates of people living in extreme poverty areas in the 1990s rose starkly from 2000 to 2009. What era was that? Oh, I know, the Bush years.
Yeah.
And again, as only you can say, Ohio pretty much sucks hobo right now.
It was a crude week this week.
Wow, you were in a state. Youngstown, Dayton, Toledo, Cleveland, Columbus, Akron all have had a growth spurt in sections of towns or suburbs where people live in a blighted hellscape of schools, services, homes, crime rates, and more than likely tons of actual
crap.
Yes. But this is what's happening tomorrow, right? You say Ohio needs massive spending in order to bring its citizens back from the pit of despair. Of course, Ohio's got a Republican governor, John Kasich, who has instead advocated budget cuts and gutting collective bargaining, which, you know, it looks like he's going to get totally faced tomorrow, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's going to be destroyed tomorrow. And you know, I think this is also a part of what's going on with Occupy Wall Street. That there's just this growing awareness that given unchecked power, Republicans are going to just simply run over any kind of anything that can actually help out the people that are, I guess, the 99% is the way we'd put it now. That somehow they're so tied to this ideology of that if the wealthy prosper most, that makes the rest of us prosper a little, and then all the boats rise, that they can't even see anymore that it's such a failure.
Yeah. By the way, this is a great thing that you're doing and a great idea. Your idea for bringing warmth to the Occupy Wall Streeters all over the U.S. on Friday, November 25th, right? A group meets at the designated location in each city where there's a Occupy Wall Street encampment. We bring blankets, socks, hand warmers, and more, right?
Right. I first talked about this last week, and it's sort of begun to snowball a little bit. The idea is that on Black Friday, which is the big capitalist day of the year, instead of shopping, to actually go down, and then the idea is for there to be a physically large amount of people there delivering, bringing blankets, hand warmers, socks, anything to help the occupiers, the local occupiers stay through the winter.
Right.
And so far we have people that have volunteered to organize things in Atlanta, in Chicago, in Boston, all over.
Yep. I mean, it's a great, and I know a lot of other of your friends in the blogosphere are helping. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? We just did Sexy Liberal in San Francisco. We gave money for the Iraq vet that was, and Veterans for Peace that was injured in the police. And now another Iraq vet has been injured. I mean, there's only so many of us that can try.
You know, that was all just an attempt to get you to come back and do another show.
Yes, and there's so little time to defeat all the forces of evil. I'm like, yeah. But good job, honey. Good. That's a great idea. And it's on the day, obviously, right after Thanksgiving. Instead of going and buying crap, because it can be secondhand, too, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, they'll take any of that. Frankly, it'll be secondhand pretty quickly once it gets there.
Yeah. yeah. Exactly.
But it's just something, just some way that we can keep this going through the winter, because as I've said before, I think spring, this thing is gonna explode, the movement.
Yeah.
And once they leave one of the spaces where they're occupying, you know that the space is gonna be shut down in a way where they can't go back there.
Yeah.
So as soon as Zuccotti Park is cleared for any reason, that will be. They will change everything so that people can't stay there anymore.
Yeah. Rude, so obviously we are both awaiting, like the big cable news geeks we are, the press conference. So interesting, a couple of polls out this weekend. So the one shows Herman Cain's support among Republicans is just fine. And, in general, it's obviously hurt him. But I'm going, when did they become the pro-sexual harassment story? Wasn't this the whole story of Bill Clinton in the 90s, that he was unfit to serve and blah, blah, blah?
Right, but that was that's because this was perjury. That's what they'll always come back to. It's sort of like saying that, the Civil War wasn't about slavery. The Bill Clinton case was just about perjury. It wasn't about sex and sexual harassment. And besides, it wasn't
it was consensual.
It was consensual. It wasn't, Republicans, there were power differentials there, but.
Right. The Republicans generally not for consensual sex, in my opinion. They tend to get caught having sex with people that are unconscious and
whatever,
or against the other person's will, that sort of thing.
Yes. Well, actually, they're really for consensual gay sex. I think we see that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But yes, they do seem to have a problem with consensual straight sex.
Yeah.
But obviously, no problem with sexual harassment. Apparently,
listen,
you can have a history of it, and that's actually a positive for Republicans.
Yeah. Well, as you know, family values begins when you're bent over the Qualicare changing station in the Minneapolis airport. That's I think we all know that.
Yes.
Yikes.
Wow. I'm going to use that.
Go for it.
Here you go.
Oh, by the way, someone in the chat room says Rude's blog posts tend to be Mad Libs when read on the Stephanie Miller Show. I need a noun, a verb, an adjective, expletive, and a random obscenity.
Exactly. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Great stuff. Thank you, honey.
All righty.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. His use of any kind of balls, you know, basketball, lots of kinds of balls are highly entertaining to me. All right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even since the early 90s?
Because see, you thought he meant rhino, and he didn't. He said rhino.
Right.
Okay. 45 minutes.
Oh, that makes all the difference.
It's funnier. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. Representative Sandy Levin coming up in the great state of Michigan. Allie Belshi, the hairless prophet of doom. It's a new book out. And then Mondays with Edie McClurg. So a big Monday show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Scott, we're taking his call from Fort Lauderdale. Why?
Why?
Because his last name's Beaver. No way, Scott.
Yes, I'm in Orlando, actually, but I got your tickets for Fort Lauderdale. I'm
Yay,
so excited.
Sweet.
Yay.
December, when is that now?
10th.
Yes. Thank you.
It's going to be fabulous.
Thank you.
Wait.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yes, my last name's Beaver. Don't laugh.
And I'm not laughing. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing really hard at you. Nice
and
Beaver.
My partner's last name is Hunt, so we're Hunt Beaver.
Oh, stop it now.
it's funny. But we love you very much. And
so
we can't wait
is there
you.
Going to be a Hunt Beaver wedding?
Yes, there is. We're going to go next year, Connecticut.
Wow.
Can you please invite me so I can just ask, can you tell me where the Hunt Beaver wedding is?
Yes, I will.
I'm looking for the Hunt Beaver.
Or the Beaver Hunt.
Beaver Hunt.
What about the Beaver Hunt?
No, Beaver Hunt's better. You're right, better.
Yeah, Beaver Hunt. Yeah.
Better.
Well, we have Orchestra Street seats, so I'm really excited.
You know you're going to see that on Leno, right? Hey, look at this one. It's the Hunt Beaver wedding.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, honey. We will see you there.
Okay, love you guys.
All right, love you too, honey. I love how my listeners know my schedule better than I do. I guess I've been to sexyliberal.com and sexyliberal on Facebook because I don't, this one. Let's see, Kate, yeah, some of these things, Chris, I wouldn't even know where we're on sale yet, but.
Oh yeah, there's
sucks
some,
to be me.
Like in the middle of next year that are on sale.
Yeah, I mentioned this tour is killing me. Someone asked me, when's it over? I'm like, never.
Never.
Apparently.
It's ongoing.
Because, you know, Mr. Potter, who owns the show?
Yeah.
This is the first time I've actually been worth more to him alive than dead. all right.
Potter. Oh, God.
All right. Kate writes, Steph, why don't I tell you how much my partner and I adore you. We love you so much. We've been to every one of the AM 950 Blue State Balls in Minneapolis just to meet you.
Nice.
Yay! We missed the last time Sexy Liberal came to Minneapolis because we were running a marathon. Whatever.
What?
In Duluth. So I surprised Audra with tickets to the LA show, and it was fabulous. We love LA. I surprised her again with tickets to the May Minneapolis show. May in Minneapolis. What?
Is that legal?
What's happening here? All right, this next up, kids, we're going to mess with Texas. Very exciting. Yes.
Lone Star State liberals, no need to feel lonesome anymore.
Because
these seductive progressives are about to make the Dixie Chicks proud of Texas once again. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is thrilled to announce that they're coming to the most controversial town on their world tour, Austin, Texas.
If this is Austin, I still love you.
And
army of the worst dregs ever to soil the face of the West.
Austin, Texas. On November 12th at the Long Center, John Feeblesang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller are coming to clear Bush. I mean Brush. Yeah. And spread some liberal love. Tickets are available online at thelongcenter.org or by calling 512-474-5664. It's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Austin, prepare your city to be taken to its limits of laughter.
Thank you. All right, yeah, this Saturday. Very exciting. Never been to Austin. Excited. All right. Alex, you got to love political polls, Seth. The latest show President Obama losing to a quote-unquote generic Republican, but winning against any of the individuals currently in the GOP clown car.
Yes.
Well, okay. Oh, Lord. So we are anxiously awaiting, I don't know what time it's going to be, the Gloria Allred Press Conference. In case you hadn't heard, should I mention it again? A new woman alleging sexual harassment by Herman Cain will break her silence at a news conference with her attorney, Gloria Allred.
Yay!
Last seen dancing to Poker Face at my house.
Well,
Monday afternoon.
She's done things since then.
Monday afternoon in New York City. Oh, so I don't know. We may still be on the air or not. I don't know what time. The woman, who will be the first to go public, sought Cain's help with an employment issue and was allegedly sexually harassed by him. No, I can't help you, but could I grope you? Allred and her client will discuss in detail what alleges occurred with Cain. Yay for detail.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Did you see he clashed once again with the reporters on Saturday night? He had a very friendly debate with Newt Gingrich. Did you see that? They were the polite chipmunks. They were just like, oh, no, after you. Oh, no, I love you more.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, do you have the actual audio?
Yeah,
but then he was taking no further questions of anything.
Mr. Cain, attorney for one of the women who filed a sexual harassment complaint against
you. Don't even go there.
Oh.
All right, and can I ask my question?
No, because...
Can I ask a good question?
Where's my chief of staff?
I'm right here.
Please send him the journalistic code of ethics.
What?
All right. You got a good... Who else? You want to ask another good question?
Journalistic code of ethics?
See, you know what? This is the same thing that sexual harassment is based on. It's power. I think it was our friend Don Lemon from CNN that said, does he think reporters aren't going to ask questions just because he tells them not to? Like, you know, that's what I mean. It's these guys that are used to, like,
that's
being the boss. It's
right,
like,
that's a very CEO way of thinking. That's not a politician's way of thinking.
Yeah. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? What do you mean? Like, we're just going to stop now because you said so.
Right.
Yeah. When it's obviously a legitimate news story, he said, I love this, too. You can tell candidates that say things that their advisor just told them not to. They coach them in private.
Yeah.
But that's not the thing you say.
Right.
He said, you see what I mean? I was going to do something that my staff told me not to do and try to respond, okay? What I'm saying is this. We're getting back on message. End of story. Back on message. Read all the other accounts. Read all the other accounts where everything has been answered. No, it hasn't. Nothing's been answered. We're getting back on message, okay? You could tell that's what they said. Herman, we're getting back on message.
Right.
Herman, we're getting back. Now, don't say that, but just get back on message.
Also, a candidate should never say that his staff told him not to say something, because then that kind of signifies that the candidate isn't thinking for themselves.
It's wildly unpredictable.
Exactly.
And perhaps unfit for high office.
Yeah.
I have no impulse control, is what I'm saying.
Hi, Jim Ward.
Hi, Jim Ward.
In the role of in the racist role of Herman Cain.
Just that they didn't want no cane sugar. That's what it is. They don't like pure cane sugar.
As you originally said, you tried to touch her in the apples.
Apples, and she kicked me in the oranges.
There you go. I can't get enough of that joke. It's apples and oranges.
That's a good one.
All right, there's Jim with that racist Herman Cain impression again, because it sounds exactly like him. All right, it's part of the liberal high-tech lynching.
Yes, why?
Of course,
that's
planned for so many years.
Why I visited the Martin Luther King Memorial this weekend in D.C.
Oh, that's
you
right.
Did.
Pretty spectacular, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And the Korean War and World War II memorials.
Wow, yeah. Look at Jim Ward coming back from the Beltway.
And, exhausted.
Oh, all right. Okay, all right, you take a little nap. Mama's
nap.
Okay. Come to Mama. Okay. 58
Just wake up
hour.
In 7 minutes, please.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with a sleepy Jim Ward on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sometimes I just love a headline. The Daily Beast. Why the GOP should panic.
Oh,
try to assume the crash positions. Scene from Airplane. All right. Yeah, Gloria Allred's press conference is at, 1:30 Eastern.
Yep.
Damn, we'll be off the air, but all right, we'll give you all the details on that in just a bit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Representative Sandra Levin, one of our very personal favorites from the great state of Michigan, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Well, I'm glad to have somebody talking about jobs. You know, the president, by the way, take a listen to this, making a good point, I thought, yesterday. President Obama.
When I came into office, the U.S. Economy had contracted by 9%. A little over a year later, the economy was growing by 4%, and it's been growing ever since.
You know, Representative, I think it can't be said enough that people have to understand that we were losing 700,000 jobs a month, and while adding 80,000 isn't great, it still is in the right direction, right?
Yes, it's better than losing hundreds of thousands of jobs every month. That's the situation the president and his administration inherited. And I think it's good to remind people. Perhaps a mistake was made being a little too optimistic about how we dig out of this hole. I think there was an understatement as to the depth of the hole and a misunderstanding all around.
Well,
so what the president said, I think, is so correct.
Well, and Representative, you're obviously from Michigan, and you have, you know, one of the front runners, at least in the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, saying he would have, you know, let the auto companies go bankrupt. So, you know, all of those jobs would have been gone rather than, you know, flourishing and having paid us back by now, right?
Sure, and look what's happened. It will never be quite the same, but it's on the rebound, making much better cars, but also creating new jobs. And once again, the auto industry is one of the generators of recovery. Now, hopefully, the construction industry, especially residential, as well as commercial, will rebound. But what Mitt Romney said, that he would have let it fall apart, is something he needs to be remembered about.
Yeah, exactly. Congressman, we have a link up on our website to your, you're obviously calling to extend unemployment insurance, and you want to hear from the jobless about their experiences. Tell us about that.
Well, it's so important. We're talking, the latest estimate is that if we don't extend the benefits at the end of this year, that by early February, over 2 million people who are looking for work will be cut off from their benefits. So there's a crisis looming. And this website, I guess you have it, we're using our congressional website, www.levin.house.gov, is to ask people to email us their stories. And they're so compelling. If you have a minute, I'll just refer to one. For example, from New Hampshire, I've been unemployed for 2.5 years. Unemployment insurance helped me make ends meet while I was using my savings and 401k to keep up with everything. Now they are gone. My savings are long gone. My 401k is almost gone. I'm watching everything I worked so hard for my entire life slip away. I'm 50.
Well, and Representative, I mean, this is why it's so galling. The other front runner, Herman Cain, on the Republican side, literally said, "If you don't have a job, blame yourself." I mean, we are in the worst recession since the, you know, the Great Depression, and literally that's the level of sort of compassion on their side, right?
You know, it's mindless and heartless.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what it is. It's both heartless and it's also mindless because we have 15 million unemployed. We have three people, maybe four, looking for every job that opens up. And so this is an effort to have people tell their stories. I think if that happens, maybe the Republicans eventually will listen.
Well, Representative, you probably heard, Vice President Biden said this weekend the White House is going to keep acting on its own to find ways to help the economy if congressional Republicans don't pass the jobs bill, which it looks clear that they are not going to pass all or any part of it, are they?
I'm afraid not, but I think we have to keep on. By the way, the president can't extend the unemployment, the federal unemployment program. So Congress has to act. It was a couple of years ago when Jim McDermott and I went down the day before Christmas. It was Christmas Eve almost, asking the Senate to act. And the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans should not wait until the last minute. We should act now.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Levin, thank you so much for your time and for fighting that good fight.
We'll keep fighting, all of us.
All right. Absolutely. The link is up on my website, Representative Sandy Levin. All right, so the other breaking news, I said turning festive for a moment. New woman who alleges sexual harassment by Kane to hold news conference with her attorney, Gloria Allred. This was a listener email. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And now it's come true. Oh, the Stephanie Miller Show, where dreams come true.
Is she going to bring her chalkboard?
I hope so. This will be at 1:30 at the Friars Club in New York. 1:30 Eastern.
Somebody's going to get fried.
Yeah. The woman, I didn't know this, Chris, you were right.
What?
T-N-N-E. The woman is not one of the three women.
Oh, dear.
Previously,
really?
Oh,
this is a new one.
Can you smell more smoke? Who have previously been reported to have alleged sexual harassment by Kane.
Maybe this is one where a gag order has slipped through the cracks.
Whoops! Look at you stirring your cauldron of scandal over there. All right, because as you know, this is a racist liberal plot.
What?
Right, Ann Coulter?
Look at how they go after Alan West. Look at how they go after Michael Steele. I mean, all of them with wonderful qualities. I mean, that's why our blacks are so much better than their blacks.
Blacks better than yours.
Blacks
better than yours.
We have very impressive black.
My blacks better because he gets
Godfather's pizza.
My blacks better than yours.
Thank you, Mike. Mike and Raleigh on a tear this morning.
He is. He's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Kids, Sexy Liberal, the website Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Off to Austin this weekend. Let's see. Oh, this one, Ray in Waukegan, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois. Let's see. Ray says, coming to Sexy Liberal. Mama, I just got two tickets for the Sexy Liberal show in Chicago in March. Oh, dear God. I hear the VIP tickets are almost gone. We just went on sale Friday. Chicago bitches be the craziest.
They are. They really are.
I think. And I'm as excited as Herman Cain in a room full of female employees. Just last night, I was telling my husband, Kurt, quite longingly that I hope someday the Sexy Liberal Tour will return to Chicago. Then lo and behold. See? Where dreams come true.
Yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Someday.
This morning, that was Friday, tuned into your show. After hearing you announce March 3rd, you'll be at the Chicago Theater. Being one to pay attention to omens, I ordered my tickets as soon as I got home. Here my confirmation sits in my hot little liberal hand. I am so pumped. Always also looking forward to telling my husband's right-wing nut job of an uncle the high points of sexy liberalism at Easter. Oh, please, do some of the routines.
Yes.
For the right-wing nut job. By the way, since I started listening to you, I now refer to myself in the third person as Mama, as in Mama's too tired to clean anything, or Mama needs another shot of schnapps. There's something delightfully imperious about that.
Hmm.
P.S. Give my love, literally, if you're so inclined, to the Mooks.
Oh, hello.
Wow.
Yeah, keep your grubby hands off me.
She wants it.
Yeah.
That's why he's dressed that way.
That's why he's bent over that pinball machine.
Yes. Asking for it.
All right. And then,
wow.
Don't forget, kids.
That's a Jodie Foster reference?
That's right.
That was weird.
What?
Okay. And was it the jukebox or the pool table?
It was a pinball machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember that scene.
All right, look out, pinball wizard.
She's a pinball wizard.
take it like a man. All right, and then the big hometown show is coming up November. What is that? 19th?
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Buffalo, your native daughter, Stephanie Miller, is coming home to upstate New York, and she's bringing her sexy liberal friends.
Homeward bound, I wish I was.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shea's Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home, and she's bringing her sexy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shea's Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
By the
way, not without lube. What?
David in Maine in the chat room says that it started on the pinball machine but ended on the pool table.
See, I thought so. See?
Okay.
Little flapping wires in my brain knew something was off there.
Never saw it.
Really?
Oh,
that was a good movie.
Oh, my God. Okay. It was on the pool table. I told you.
What does he do with this man you see?
No, wrong Jodie Foster movie.
Okay. Check out Panawea.
No, not that one.
Okay. I just any excuse to do Nell, you know all. Uh-huh. Hey, speaking of entertainment, Jim, Herman Cain did a joke at the Coke sucker thing. The Koch Brothers Americans for Prosperity conference.
Uh-huh.
He do you have that? He said, "I'm the Koch Brothers brother from another mother."
Yes.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm proud to know the Koch Brothers. I'm very proud to know the Koch Brothers. But just so I can clarify this for the media, this may be a breaking news announcement for the media. I am the Koch Brothers' brother from another mother.
Yeah!
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm that brother from another mother.
Oh, he doubled down on it, too.
Yeah.
And proud of
it, man.
Awesome. Awesome.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Wow. Hey. Yay for voting against our own self-interest.
Yeah.
Yay.
You may be quoted on that in the future.
Yes.
All right.
We have that on audio. We can use it in an ad later on. Mm. How about that?
We're going to look at Herman Cain's poll after this.
What?
17. Well,
do we have to?
We haven't seen that. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one? If anyone says I did that, they'll be lying. What? What'd I do?
Huh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Herman Cain.
I've been in Washington all week. And I've attracted a little bit of attention.
Because now sexual harassment's funny. Okay, when it was Bill Clinton, of course, it made you totally unfit to serve, apparently. Oh, and by the way, consensual Bill Clinton.
Yep. Totally. Totes consensual.
Harassment, different thing, entirely. All together. Apples and oranges.
Apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting.
What? Oh, you okay over there? Need a Heimlich?
What I meant is interesting. I'm coughing up a lung currently live on the radio.
That is interesting. You don't hear that every day.
No, I finally doing something interesting on the radio show.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm fine now.
All right. All right.
Okay, here's what's interesting. The one poll is Cain support dips after sex accusations, and the other headline is most Republicans shrug at Cain allegations, according to a poll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now they're pro-sexual harassment, apparently.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Herman Cain, let's see. The first major poll released since the story broke on Sunday, most Republican-leaning voters say the revelations have not changed their opinion. It's a Washington Post ABC News poll.
Sure. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Nope.
Just exactly. They're very consistent. Exactly the way they said that about Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
70% of the Republicans said the allegations would not change their voting decision. 23% said the story made them less likely to support him. And 4% said they were now more likely. So he's got the perv vote locked up. The pervs are really...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, bitches.
And he remains statistically tied with Mitt Romney in this...
Were you just making a thing with your tongue to make that?
No. Now, there's been all this talk this morning about the Clinton-Paula Jones things. It's made me misty, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's made me nostalgic for the...
Misty.
You remember? We used to have Susan Carpenter McMillan on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It led to my favorite moment of the... You remember the night that Paula Jones' claim got thrown out and she went on Larry King?
Yep.
Oh, Larry, the angels are crying tonight.
Whatever became of her?
Oh, my
tied her hair over. I don't know. Oh, Paula. She's my favorite.
I think she finally stopped coming on with you.
Because I think she finally had enough.
Yeah.
Mocked mercilessly.
Yeah.
Oh, Larry, the angels are Krang. Oh, because it was raining. That was it. That was it. She was standing there in a, with an umbrella outside the courthouse.
The angels were crying.
Susan, how are you feeling tonight? Paula Jones lawsuit rejected. Oh, Leary, it's raining in L.A. The angels are crying.
Oh, my God.
Actually, the angels are in Anaheim, so if she comes back.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so then the Reuters Ipsos poll, that's the other story, poll showed the percentage of Republicans who view Kane favorably dropped, so his favorite, I don't get that. One poll shows they don't care, another poll shows his favorability, I guess his favorability has dropped in the other poll, 9%
Is the
points.
AP Ipsos poll, did they poll the entire electorate or just Republicans?
Well, this they did, among all registered voters, Kane's favorability declined 5 percentage points to 32% from 37%.
Right. And the other poll you cited only polled Republicans.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, so that's the difference.
A majority of respondents, 53%, believe sexual harassment allegations against Kane are true, despite his denials, which I think. Yes, the woman who received a cash settlement from the Restaurant Association to her harassment claim rejected Kane's denials on Friday. She said through her lawyer that she was the victim of a, quote, series of inappropriate behaviors and unwanted advances by Kane in 1999. We're going to get details today from Gloria Allred. We're apparently going to go
and
way into detail.
What numbers are in 1999?
999? Oh, my God. John Huntsman was on Meet the Press. He said it has got to come out in total. Legitimate questions have been raised, and that information has to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Joel Bennett is the Kane accuser's attorney on Friday.
She made a complaint in good faith about a series of inappropriate behaviors and unwanted
details.
Advances from the CEO.
Oh, God, I want the details. Okay. Joel Bennett again on Friday.
Mr. Kane knows the specific incidents that were alleged, and if he chooses to not remember or not acknowledge those, that's his issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he, by the way, so he had this little debate with Newt Gingrich, which is a little love fest.
Yeah, that was kind of pointless.
A little bit of a circle.
That's pointless, frankly.
Yeah. So anyway, so he, a Washington Post reporter tried to ask him a question. He cut him off in mid-question. He said, Mr. Kane, the attorney for one of the women, blah, blah. He began, don't even go there. Yeah, the reporter asked, can I ask my question? No. Where's my chief of staff? Please send the thing we played. Please send him the journalistic code of ethics. I love Tom Lemon said, does Herman Cain really think he's going to get reporters to stop asking questions because he simply says so?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
And how is...
You're not the CEO of the press pool.
Yeah, how is asking questions about a very pertinent current event story against the journalistic code of ethics? That's the part that I don't understand.
Well, he just made that up.
Yeah, he's pulled it out of his ass completely.
Like, I don't know.
You violating the journalistic ethics thing.
Is there such a thing? I don't know. All right, 29...
tells you can't ask any questions of me.
29 minutes after the hour. The hairless prophet of doom, Ali Velshi, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, tougher than an angry beaver's teeth.
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk?
He's singing the song.
It's okay. All right, he's sleepy. I'm just going to let him ramble. I'm just going
to
ramble incoherently all morning. All right, that's fine. He was in D.C. He got home late. What's that?
It's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
It's a great song, though. Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free for him. I can't believe you let me call him the bald-headed prophet of doom all this time.
I corrected you so often that I finally just gave up.
You're always wrong. All right, hairless prophet of doom, whatever. Good morning, Ali Velshi.
Hello.
Hello. I'd like to rub your head and apologize now.
No, you can. I mean, the former is acceptable at any time, but you owe me no apology.
So you have a dandy new book out called with our friend Christine Romans, who will come on next week and undermine you. But
yes.
It is called How to Speak Money.
Right, and we don't, Christine and I don't speak it the same way, so it's better people listen to me now because she is going to undermine me. But that was the point of the book, that lots of people who live together, work together, spend a lot of time together, don't speak, you know, don't speak about money the same way, and it leads to a lot of fights. Christine and I fight. We've been fighting for 10 years.
It's adorable. It's like a Noel Coward play.
Yeah.
Now... Because I'm totally, I don't know if it's gender related, Allie, I'm totally in her camp. As your release says, Christine is a saver, Allie's a spender.
Yep.
I don't know whether that's a, do you think that tends to be a more female thing? I have never had a penny in the stock market?
Yeah,
I do not have the stomach for it.
We've seen some studies, in fact, neurological studies about why things happen. And yes, women do tend to be more risk averse. Men tend to be less, but it manifests in different ways. One of the examples in the book is when there's been a study of pilots, and they find that with women pilots, most women have to get their confidence level up to their abilities, mm-hmm. whereas most men need to get their abilities up to their confidence level.
Yes.
I think they were born able to fly a plane.
Yes. Anybody that's driven with a man knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for instance, this is how you say Christine has a minivan, Allie has a motorcycle. Christine
yep.
is cautious, Allie likes risk. I have to say, I think I used a slot machine once in Vegas. I lost a quarter and I was out.
But Christine will tell you a story. Yeah. She just said it this morning on TV. She went somewhere once and played something and won a good amount of money and left thinking, that's it. I'm up for life in a casino and I'm never going back.
Never going back.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the point is, these kind of things, they're fun to talk about, except if you have to live with somebody and share money with them and share bills with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does create fights. So the concept is, here's my analogy. When I go into a Chinese restaurant, I don't understand what's on the menu. I don't understand what the word, the name in Chinese is. That's not going to stop me from eating. And I'm going to ask and then I'm going to order and I'm going to love it. But with money, when you don't understand where someone else is coming from or what they're saying, you tend to shy away. You tend to get defensive or you tend to say, I don't want to get involved in that. And we're just trying to get people familiar with the lexicon and the words they use and make better decisions.
Well, that's what you said, that speaking money is easier to learn than one might think. I mean, it's interesting because my accountant was just saying, I have a retirement account and it's very, very conservative. You know,
right.
when he's saying, you know, you really should do something with this. And I'm like, is there a way to find a place where you can feel comfortable
yep.
if you're risk adverse?
Yeah, you can't invest in a way that's going to make you feel sick every night. So one
right.
of the things we do in the book is we assume that you've just arrived on Earth and you've never even heard about money. All it is a number of questions that you tick off, and we've got it on the website too, and it'll tell you what your investment should look like that'll suit you and allow you to make some money. Because for people who are risk averse to go to a bank to put their money in, I mean, most cases, the bank's charging you these days to hold your money. You just
mm-hmm.
can't keep your money in a bank account. And the other thing is there's lots of opportunity out there right now. We get very obsessed with Washington and how bad things are and who's messing up the economy. But in fact, there's a lot of opportunity, but you do have to look for it a little bit.
I agree with you about the banks, and besides, it makes my mattress so much fluffier to have
that's
my
right.
cash under there.
Totally right. You'll have to find another way to sleep once you take all the money out of the mattress. But people do this, Stephanie. Very smart, sophisticated people who do something else for a living do this. They're very concerned and cautious with their money.
Well, I know that you have a saving versus investing chapter, and so you say you're not a big saver, so you need your money to make money.
Yeah.
Christine doesn't like to part with money. She's so she's deliberate.
Yep.
Her decision takes a long time to make them.
Tightwad, I think, is the word you're looking for.
She's a woman after my own heart.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You're obviously the opposite. And have you had big losses as a result of that?
Yeah, I totally have. I mean, in 2008, when everybody took losses in the market, I wasn't in cash. And I lost money as a result of that. But I made it all back because I was back in. I read my first book, which told me to stay reinvested. So I did that. But here's the neat thing about this. Maybe neat or not. Somebody tweeted me this morning to say, of what use is your book to the people on Occupy Wall Street or to, or to people who earn less than $50,000 a year? Here's the thing. We, on one level, can and should fight for policy changes that make things better for everybody, right? You can't run a country where you've eroded the middle class. You can't run a country where people get penalized for not having a job if it's of their own, not of their own accord. But mostly what you have to do is create your own reality at this point. So you've got to get educated in those areas where there will be jobs. You've got to invest in a way that won't make you throw up every night, but will actually make you some money. You've got got to assume the government isn't going to fix it for you right now, because likelihood is they're not going to fix it for you. So that's why this is empowering. This is the idea that it's not complicated, it's not distant, it's not scary. Just do it.
Speaking of the Occupy thing, I mean, that's, I think, gave us people some sense of power, don't you? The you know, just the $5 bank fee from Bank of America.
Yeah.
You,
oh,
you know, because you think
me.
You think that
Molly Catchpole woman, I don't know if you've interviewed
her,
she, what a fantastic thing. She comes from nowhere, has no political power, no organizational background, and gets Bank of America to back, I mean, and amongst other things, gets this massive company to back down. That is very powerful.
Right, that people do, you know, we as a you know, collective do have the ability to go, no, enough,
absolutely,
and have
right.
companies react.
But you got to be Molly, or you got to be you and have a radio show. You've got to take this power, and they've got to harness it. That's the one problem, because it's starting to peter out in some places. The weather's getting cold. It's hard to be out there. They've got to somehow figure some way to harness this and say, let's change. Let's all change. We all have to agree that it's not right that we keep getting bifurcated, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. There's this middle ground, and it's a completely vacant place for us to live in.
Right. Now, I usually have you and Christine on to pester you endlessly about my mortgage. Now, you have a buying a home chapter. Here's the rub. You say this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to buy a house because prices are down 30 to 40%. You know, but Christine says you don't buy a house because mortgage rates are low and house prices are low. You buy a home when you need a house to live in, and you've got money in the bank, and it's the right opportunity. So the problem is, it's not a good time for me to sell my house, but it's a good time to buy a house because mortgage rates are low. And so what do you do?
Yeah, well, you hope that people take my advice, because if you're trying to sell a house, you want everybody else to be buying houses so your prices go up. So we're all in this, you know, it'll help us if people understand that it's a good time to buy. But Christine's very right. The one thing we like about this book is either spouse or partner or whatever can give it to the other one, you know, as if to prove that you're right in the arguments, because everybody comes out right in this one. Christine says don't buy a house that you can't afford, that you don't have a down payment for, if you have bad credit and you don't know if you're going to stay in it. All of that is right. I'm saying if all of that is in place, there will never be a better time to buy a house. But there's a lot of ifs and a lot of ats and a lot of buts. And if you have a house to sell, you're going to have to wait a little while.
Well, now you
but do refinance the mortgage, because it's a hassle, it's a real pain to do it, but there are some real savings to be had right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see again, you know, it depends on what I got an interest only, you know, back when they were giving them out like candy.
Yep.
It was a no doc loan, but I mean, you know, but now it's tied to the London something, and I think I'm paying like 2% or something. So why refinance?
Tied to LIBOR, London Interbank Overnight Rate, which is this famous, nobody ever knew what that was until this financial crisis, but it's still pretty low, so you're probably still paying a very, very low interest rate, and you're still okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm a big, funny, because I'm the risk taker here, I actually like fixed mortgages. I like a regular price, like I know what I want to know what I'm going to pay for the rest of my time. There's some things I gamble with, but for whatever reason, a mortgage isn't one of them.
Well, except that, we've pretty much been assured mortgage rates are going to stay, interest rates are going to stay low, haven't we?
Yeah, the mortgage
for a while.
The price of a mortgage moves a little differently than the Fed rate. The Fed has said they'll keep rates low till 2013, which is unprecedented. Mortgage markets move a little bit differently. For instance, if there's all of a sudden a surge in demand for mortgages, it will actually make the rate go up.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I think you're right. Until about 2013, you're probably going to be we'll probably have the benefit of low mortgage rates. Remember, you may not have the benefit of low home prices for the next 2 years. You may.
Yeah.
But in some markets, they'll start to creep up. Where I am in Manhattan, they've been going up ever since.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true, too. It's so different, you know, depending on what market you're talking about.
Yeah, real estate's entirely local, real estate and gas prices.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ellie, you mentioned the Occupy movement. How do you see that impacting, politics in 2012?
I mean, nobody has been able to ignore the movement. So some people have said disparaging things about it. But the bottom line is it's got some interesting staying power, and it's got some interesting ability. It's got this contagion. I mean, there are people holding these rallies and sit-ins and sleepouts in places that you wouldn't think were associated with that kind of thing. So I think there's something to it. There's a resistance on the part of some of the participants to be labeled as anything or to articulate specific things that they would like to achieve as a result of their protest. I would love if that emerged a little more, if that developed a little further, because then you can start to argue the merits of a particular argument. So what is it you'd like to achieve, and can we actually get there in time for an election cycle? Because 1 year from now is a perfect time to, for the voters to go out and say, these are the changes we would like to see. You know, you're just such an expert at articulating these things. I would love if people embrace the idea that that'll be the next logical step. We may see some real change.
Yeah. Wow. No one's ever called me articulate. That makes me hot. Ali Velshi, now I understand you more, that you're a risk taker. That's why you have to have 17 jobs, including CNN's chief business correspondent,
right.
Host of Your Money, host of Ali B podcast, author of Giving My Money Back, and of course this new book, because you're
gotta have something.
Yeah,
gotta
pay the bills. You're so intemperate that you need 1,000 jobs to support your recklessness.
That's it.
All right. Ali Velshi, author of the new book, How to Speak Money. And we will have Christine Romans on next week, of course, to undermine him, everything he said. Thank you, Ali. I love
always
you.
Always my pleasure.
All right.
Yay.
The hairless prophet of the
yep.
There he goes.
H-Pod.
He's the Mr. Bigglesworth of financial advice. All right.
He's a little rounder than Mr. Bigglesworth.
Mr. Bigglesworth is very bony.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. 45 minutes after the hour.
It's very bony. The info.
He's the boss. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy as you let it.
Bing, 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 bing. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What? My inbox is jammed full.
It is.
What's your point?
What?
But
huh?
Chris,
you mean
it? Chris roots around in my interweb under things every day with his go to my PC, nosing around.
I don't root around anything.
Oh, sure.
Just
I'm printing show prep. Yes.
Oh,
but,
my God. Yes, but I've noticed that Stephanie is one of those people that keeps everything she's ever
yes.
done on her computer on her desktop.
Right.
She doesn't file it away anywhere.
They're
I don't
layered
know how to do
like
that.
Five thick.
Well, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like a collage.
Internet lasagna.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. No, I keep things even in my inbox for like years. And, I'm
yeah.
like, and you're like, do you have
no,
that? I'm like, I don't know.
I have about 11 million
well,
emails in my inbox. I have.
Well, your inbox does have a search feature. So if you need to, you know, find
really?
Something, you can search for something and
huh.
it'll pull it up.
Yeah, she had no idea.
I did not.
You're kidding.
Lisa just operated my iTunes from yesterday because I didn't remember my password or I don't know.
Whatever.
Oh, and
well,
so I have like 7 yeah. songs in my iPod. I'm like, how do I do it? How do I put more things in it?
Every once in a while when I'm rooting around your computer, I have to upgrade your browser. Because
mm-hmm.
when I first went in, I'm like,
uh-huh.
wow, this was like 8 different versions ago. You need to.
Mama's busy. Dave and at least half the day is lost in box wine. I
well,
can't do anything.
Lexus Nexus search.
Dave in Columbus.
Inbox.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mama. How are you doing?
Good,
hi,
baby.
Hello.
Well, I decided after Herman Cain went off on the reporter and wanted him to get a copy of the journalistic code of ethics.
Yeah, do you have
I looked
that?
It up.
Oh, good.
I have it. And guess what? The second point is, quote, diligently seek out subjects of news stories to give them the opportunity to respond to allegations of wrongdoing.
Well, then.
Aha. Oh, well, then.
There you go.
Straight from the Society of Professional Journalists.
Thank you. You're the smartest boy in
which
class
he has
this
not
morning.
Read, apparently.
No, apparently.
I'm not familiar with that.
I am not familiar.
But I am afraid that China's going to develop nuclear weapons.
Oh,
what now?
Boy.
Huh?
Oh, boy.
They've had them for... How many years?
50? Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I was going to do something that my staff told me not to do and try to respond. Okay? What I'm saying is this. Can you? We are getting back on message.
Thank you, Mr.
King. End of story. Back on message.
Oh, boy. What time is it? Okay. 10:30 Pacific time will be the Gloria Allred press conference. Was this? It's not even a third. It's another woman outside of the three. Joel Bennett, the attorney for one of the women who accused Herman Cain of sexual harassment, Says the second woman contacted him to explore the possibility of suing Kane on similar grounds before deciding against it. A third unnamed woman told the AP this week that she was harassed by Kane while working at the NRA but decided against filing a complaint at the time. Joel Bennett said there's an expression where there's smoke, there's fire. The fact that there are multiple complaints tells me it's more likely than not that there was some sexual harassment activity by this man at that time. Jothink.
Yeah.
Another episode of Jothink.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
And this is an entirely different woman with Gloria Allred today.
Yeah. By the way, Herman Cain is going to be in Los Angeles today. He's appearing on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
I think I'm going to put on a Hoochie Mama outfit and see if I can.
Wow. I guess we won't be able to get across town now if Herman Cain's in town.
Oof.
Ooh, traffic's going to be lighter than normal.
I think I'm gonna try to go be a sexual harassment magnet. I'm going to put
on
an old outfit from the Itchy Kitty in Reseda. Well, Jimmy, let's see if I can.
Jimmy Kimmel does tape on Hollywood Boulevard, so I think you'll fit right in.
Yep. just don't wear open-toed shoes. The crack vials could, cut your toes.
Put a hidden camera in my bustier.
No, anymore.
Actually, Hollywood Boulevard is cleaning up quite well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Herman Cain.
Read all of the other accounts.
Okay.
Read all of the other accounts where everything has been answered in the story. We're getting back on message, okay?
Thank you. Okay.
Getting back on message.
Mm-hmm. So is Gloria Allred.
I wish one of the reporters. I wish one of the reporters would have said, "You're not the boss of me." Pizza man. All right.
If I was the boss of you, I'd be groping you right now.
Mm-hmm. You would have already been groped if I was the boss of you. All right. As Mike and Raleigh says, this is all turning into some kind of bad movie phone.
What? Hello, and thank you for calling. This is all turning into some kind of bad movie phone. Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. If you know the name of the Republican candidate you'd like to see, President, press 1. If you have been sexually harassed by a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 3. You have selected Herman Cain. If this is correct, press 1. Herman Cain, rated NC-17, ends this Friday. If this is the candidate you want, press 1. Again, you have selected Herman Cain. If you really want Herman Cain to be your president, press 1. Okay, this is Herman Cain we're talking about, right? If so, press 1. If you would like to be a Republican presidential candidate, press 2. Thank you for selecting Herman Cain. And thank you for using This Is All Turning Into Some Kind of Bad Movie Phone. Stay online to be connected to Air Canada reservation. Air Canada, we'll always be there for you.
Oh, thank God. All right, thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
You've selected Flubber.
Oh, that's a callback to a bit we did 10 years ago.
Yes. For some reason, you just would always select Flubber by accident.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see Flubber. all right, speaking of inappropriate boners, Boner says his friendship with Obama has cooled. House Speaker John Boner says his relationship with one-time golf partner President Obama has grown a little frosty. He complains in an interview that Obama is engaging in class warfare by pushing for higher taxes for wealthy Americans.
Oh, my God.
Boner says the rich paid up taxes.
The money paid up taxes. We're the top creators.
When are we going to say enough?
Such a whiner. Oh.
Pardon me. And he said it's wrong of for the president to pit one set of Americans against another because he should be cooperative like the Republicans are.
Hmm. He's been nothing but cooperative with you clowns.
Ass clowns.
Drop the hammer.
In my opinion. Yikes.
It's 1 year until election day.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
1 year from today.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. Rick Perry, was he sober? What are you talking about?
You might say that Newt were involved in a project called Operation Occupy the White House.
Woo! Shecky, good one!
Yeah.
Woo! Did you have any props for that one?
And my comic timing is impeccable. You might say...
You can see some just Texas tumbleweeds rolling through the pauses. It's just barroom doors swinging open. Okay.
It's almost as if he's moving in slow motion.
Oh boy, we could write a lot less material for Sexy Liberal if we went that slow. I have to write 2 jokes since this, most of the audience goes home by the time you get to the end of the joke. Oh, for God's sakes, we're out of here. All right, Newt Gingrich, frankly.
I will announce that from that date forward for the rest of the campaign, the White House will be my scheduler, and wherever the president appears, I will appear 4 hours later.
From the time he gets the Republican nomination?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just because you're at 12% now doesn't make you the front runner.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right. Okay.
Double digits.
Dude. Uh-huh. I mean, dude, come on. 58 minutes after the hour, Mondays with McClurg, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com for all the upcoming dates. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. The big announcement on Friday, we are returned to Chicago, and I believe VIP tickets are almost sold out. Get it.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Thank you, Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Thank you, everybody. Linda writes, Steph, I got mine. All hail mama. I waited online for 10 minutes to purchase tickets for Sexy Return to Chicago. My family, hubby, and sons will be there. Eldest son has a huge crush on you and wants to have your baby. Eldest son with no gaydar. That's all right. We love you all, and all hail the Mooks as well. Hail, Mooks. Linda, I've declared myself the official knitter crochet hooker for the Stephanie Miller Show. I don't think she meant it like that. It's a hooker, like a, you know, hook a rug. Yeah, sure. Katie in Chicago, Steph. The Friday spilling of my morning coffee and near destruction of my ankle during the Chicago Return Show announcement is officially worth it. Despite my super outdated, overloaded, exhausted, barely working iPhone, I got my tickets to Sexy Liberal at Chicago Theater. At the first show, I was sitting next to Improve the Show dude, who was sure he was hilarious. Yeah, we enjoy those, the suggestions for improvement, thanks. File those. This time I bought two tickets for insulation and to share the Sexy Liberal love with a friend. I should have waited to tell her because now all she does is giggle and smile and real conversation has become impossible. How good are my tickets, you ask? Front row, on the aisle, I'll be in prime grope lap dance receiving locale. I can't wait. My friend is part of the generation who came of age watching Queer as Folk, and the idea she'll practically be close enough to touch Hal Sparks during his T-Rex impression stunned her into silence. As well it should. I'm super excited. Thanks for asking about my second helping of liberal bitch slap, but getting to watch her receive her first dose might be the best part. That's right. Take a sexy liberal friend who hasn't seen it yet. You're not even here yet. You've already made both our winters. Keep rolling. See you in March. Love, Kate in Chicago. Thank you, Katie. Speaking of really fun things from the Midwest.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore me.
Yeah. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning.
You know, you're quite the feminist like I am, so I'm sure you're looking forward to the Gloria Allred press conference.
Yes.
With bated breath.
Yes. I think I'll be finished with my next gig after I leave here in time to
Watch
that.
It. Yes. 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 Eastern.
Great.
This is an entirely different Herman Cain accuser now. This is not the first three women that were the two women that settled the suits, or the third. This is someone else entirely.
Oh, goody.
Mm-hmm.
It's piling up.
Sure. Sure. Here's something exciting, by the way. Jim, did you see this? L.A., they did a dirtiest cities in America.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a good way. Not in the squeezy way that you like, but in a dirty air way. L.A., number two.
I love L.A.
Yay. Yay for
Who
us.
Who was first?
Bakersfield.
Oh,
Bakersfield
yeah.
edged us out this year.
Hmm.
Number two, America's dirtiest cities.
Well, the weather is changing now. It's getting a crisp
feel.
It's colder.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing my Marlon Brando jacket.
Really?
When Marlon died, the family gave all of his clothing to the Motion Picture Fund, and they had a little second-hand shop.
Yeah. Wow.
And it came, I had just gotten a computer, and it was the first thing that came up. It said Marlon Brando's pants. So I had to click on that.
Wow.
And it said they're on sale. And by the time I got down there, most of the racks were cleaned out, but I got a couple of jackets.
Wow.
And his last turtleneck. And his last pair of big
must have been
big boy jeans.
I was going to say, yikes. That's a big turtleneck. And, yikes, that's like that giant pair of jeans in that they put on display in that museum.
I think I'm going to make a pillow out of the turtleneck.
Okay, awesome.
And actually, it was kind of sad because the jeans were split about 10 inches down the back.
Oh.
So he could wear a coat over it.
It's another edition of That Is So Random, starring Edie McClure. Who else comes in here and says, I have Marlon Brando's jacket with me? What? All right, Billy, my right-wing love muffin in Texas, where we're going on Saturday to Austin. Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Are you coming to Sexy Liberal in Austin? Come on.
Oh, I'd love to, but I've just got a lot going on.
Oh, okay. All right, got a thing with a guy.
I'll miss you guys. Listen, I was listening with some interest this morning on how y'all are disparaging and mocking all the Republican candidates, which y'all want to do.
Yes.
Oh, and
they're giving us material this year like nobody's business.
We want it.
Y'all are making up a lot of good material.
We are? What did I make up?
You're making a lot. All this Herman Cain stuff, I think a lot of it's made up.
I made it up.
It's on the news.
Yeah, I know, but it's being made up by somebody, and y'all are feeding the flame.
What do you mean it's made up? He settled 2 sexual harassment cases in the 90s. They've confirmed that.
Where do I go to find the proof of that?
He's admitted it.
Herman Cain said so.
No, what I think he said is he thought when this first started, he came out and he goes, I'm not real sure what they're talking about. It's been, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, his memory was fuzzy, but he recollected generally.
But I hope
gradually.
It wasn't for much because I didn't do anything.
Right.
And the guy stuck to his guns. I admire that. But it really
no, he didn't.
Matter.
He kept changing his story hour by hour. What are you talking about?
No. I mean, the guy, he goes, look, I don't know what he was caught. Well, you get faced with something like this, you've got to go, look, I've never harassed anybody. Okay, now there was.
Why do you give a woman a year's salary if nothing happened?
I don't think he gave a woman a year's
salary. Yes, he did. They confirmed this.
He verified
it. So the company gave him a severance package. That's the story that. Well, yeah, no, that's not, mock that if you want, but that's what it is. But it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican candidate is, he or she is going to be able to wipe the floor with Obama.
Okay, any of them?
That's the encouraging thing. Y'all keep on making your jokes.
How come every poll shows none of them beating Obama? I know we're a year out, but...
The poll that counts is going to be about a year from now. I can't wait to call y'all back after that.
So any of them could wipe the floor with him, really?
Any of them.
Really?
Any of them in a debate.
Bachman?
I would love to see anybody from Michelle Bachman, to Newt Gingrich, to Herman Cain, to Rick Perry. To
John Huntsman?
John Huntsman would just beat Obama.
He and his 1%, 1% in the polls, I'm sure.
Well, like I said, the only poll that matters. I'm just talking, I can't wait for the debates.
Okay, me
because
too.
Because he's just got such a bad history, and he,
What? A bad history of what?
Well, his leadership has been awful.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Absolutely awful.
Regarding?
He's our first demonstrably Marxist
president.
Oh, my God.
You ordered a big cup of dial tone.
Marxist. What an idiot.
Right.
My God.
I'm out.
Where did you get your history degree? Walmart?
Yeah. That is
what? Marxist.
Oh, boy. What a bunch of ass clowns on the right. I'm telling you what. Julian Seattle writes.
He's to the right of Nixon on something.
Yeah.
Marxist.
And he gives people with a southern accent a bad name.
There's
a lot of smart people with southern accents somewhere.
Well, Billy, Bill Clinton, for example.
Come on, change your plans. Come to Austin Sexy Liberal and do panel with us, please. Please, Saturday, come on. All right. Here's some listener comedy. It's another one, a bunch of ass clowns. Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, poor cheap watchdog Daryl Issa, no matter what he sniffs out, the trail always leads back to Bush. The two whoopie-doo big scandals of the Obama administration so far unearthed by amateur sleuth Daryl Issa, Solyndra and Fast and Furious, both started under, wait for it, the Bush administration.
Yep.
We've heard that Solyndra applied for loans under an emergency program started by the Bush administration, and one of its principals was a Bush and McCain supporter. And despite all the fuss over the loan guarantee and bankruptcy, Daryl Issa was caught last week at a fancy fundraiser given by one of the Solyndra lobbyists. Oh, dear.
Oops.
Now, ranking member Representative Elijah Cummings has muddied up the so-called Fast and Furious scandal by locating a bunch of documents that trace the practice of gunwalking back to the Bush Justice Department. The latest is a memo to Bush's dour Attorney General Michael Mukasey describing the first-ever attempt to have a controlled delivery of weapons being smuggled into Mexico by a major arms trafficker. Oh, dear.
Daryl Issa should have a car alarm go off every time he lies. That'd be pretty
That'd
much
be funny.
Constant.
Yeah, exactly. That would be like an air raid siren all 24/7. Isn't it time to start investigating Daryl Issa, the, alleged car thief insurance defrauder, steroid user? I'm just saying, shouldn't there be some sort of investigations of some sort?
Sure.
Okay. All right. By the by, we mentioned this earlier, but I'm telling you, I think having, because you know I don't usually leave my house, Jim.
Mm.
And now I'm leaving my house against my will for sexy liberal. But I'm telling you, it actually helps being out with the people. And you know what's when we started in Madison, I'm telling you, there's something going on. There's a massive backlash to this Republican overreach, and it's gonna smack John Kasich right in the kisser tomorrow. It looks like Ohio voters look set to dump Republicans' anti-union law is the headline. An aggressive Republican drive to weaken the labor rights of government workers, same replay of Wisconsin, right, appears to have crested, at least in Ohio, where voters are expected to throw out a far-reaching anti-union law this week. The referendum over collective bargaining for public employees, potentially the most important contest in an off-year election around the nation, being closely watched for clues about shifting voter trends in a state that's going to be obviously big in the presidential election. Barely 7 months ago, the wildly unpopular governor, John Kasich, joined other Republican governors, including Wisconsin's Wanker, in defying angry street demonstrations to push through a measure designed to curb the power of public employee unions. Tuesday's vote will reverberate in a major way across the country because Ohio is still Ohio, said one analyst there. We are one of the linchpins of any presidential election. So I don't know. Have you heard, Jim, what Kasich's approval rating is? It's
single digits.
It's bad. I don't know if he's Rick Scott unpopular, but he's pretty unpopular. Public and private polling indicates that Ohioans by a substantial margin want to overturn the new law. Strategists on both sides say conservative legislatures and the new governor, emboldened by a Republican election sweep, overreached. There's that word again, overreached.
Yeah.
Unlike Wisconsin, by the way, where Republicans exempted first responders, Ohio's law applies to all government workers, including police and firefighters.
Hmm.
That's creating unusual alliances with law enforcement groups like the Fraternal Order of Police, which often endorse Republicans, siding with Democrats in the repeal push.
You ever run into a cop that was an idiot?
Yeah, that was
nicely done, Kasich. Rallies in support of labor's pushback have attracted some white working-class voters who had abandoned the Democratic Party over the years there. President Obama's reelection campaign is strongly supporting the ballot drive. And then, I don't know if you saw, Kasich got booed last Tuesday. He ventured into for an outdoor rally and confronted demonstrators. They shouted teabagger and traitor when he mentioned his working-class upbringing. So anyway, we will stay tuned for that tomorrow. Big day in Ohio tomorrow in pushback. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, much more to get to. Mondays with McClure continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Carol in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
Hey, I just have one comment about the gentleman talking about Kane, who supposedly Kane doesn't have a memory of these sexual harassment allegations.
Yeah.
The reality is if you've ever been in a lawsuit, and I was in employment law for 10 years, it's a very personal experience. You're under depositions. They go through every single document, every single memory you've ever had. There is no possible way he could not remember it even 10 to 15 years later. And if he doesn't remember it, then his IQ is about 50.
Yeah, yeah. No, he says he gradually recalled it over the course of several interviews. It all came back to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, just jogged his memory a little bit. By the by, these Republicans are just to a person. We were just talking about the Ohio, you know, the votes tomorrow. The Ohio Republican candidate, Josh Mandel, doesn't even matter the names, does it? Maybe they're all the same. He insists that the Ohio anti-labor law is about respecting police and firefighters. Yeah. He is an Ohio treasurer and U.S. Senate candidate. He supported Senate Bill 5 because the law, in his mind, actually respects police and firefighters and teachers by giving fiscal conservatives the tools to ignore collective bargaining rights, which somehow, quote, ensures that there's a state and there are local governments down the road. Because I guess if they were allowed to collectively bargain, then there would be no state.
Sure, because they'd have to actually pay them.
Oddly enough, teachers, police, and firefighters do not feel respected by this law in large numbers, much to his surprise. Oh, by the way, I was mentioning this earlier. We were just in San Francisco for Sexy Liberal, gave some money to Scott Olson, the Iraq vet who was injured by a tear gas canister. And now, guess what? Another one. Oakland cops, nice. Thanks for putting your life on the line in the unnecessary legal war. Here's a serious injury to an internal organ. Thanks. Oakland cops hospitalized another Iraq war vet with a lacerated spleen. 32-year-old former Army Ranger and veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan was arrested and beaten by Oakland police on Wednesday during a crackdown on the generally peaceful Occupy Oakland protests that have been going on that day. According to friends, he was denied medical care for 18 hours.
Wow.
He's currently in the hospital after being treated for a lacerated spleen and internal bleeding. The protests at which he was arrested were spurred in part by the arrest of Scott Olson, a Marine and an Iraq war veteran who suffered a serious head injury after cops fired
the tears. Send the Oakland cops to Afghanistan, see what it's like meeting actual resistance.
Yeah, that was an awful, isn't it, ironic file, wasn't it? Yeah. It was at a protest about the other Iraq vet that was injured by the police. And then this other guy was... Wow, okay. So the president was talking about the jobs and the economy.
Today's job numbers, which were positive, but indicate, once again, that the economy is growing way too slow.
Mm-hmm. The ever-helpful Eric Cantor, Jim, would like to help, of course.
Bring these measures to the floor for an up or down vote. If they don't pass, fine. What is Harry Reid and the Democrats afraid of?
What is
Harry Reid?
What is the Democrats afraid of except grammatical correctiveness?
What is? Is?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But tell Harry Reid to keep his sticky hands off my Chase Lounge.
You know, are you guys getting government shutdown fatigue? I am. I'm reading a Time magazine headline. As Congress squabbles, another shutdown looms.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know if I could even get my outrage up. In case you haven't heard, the government is at risk of shutting down in 2 weeks. Again? On November 18th, the federal government risks running out of funding again unless Congress can pass a budget for the fiscal year 2012. On Wednesday, the 175-member Conservative Republican Study Committee warned House Republican leaders they were unhappy with the deal cut during the debt ceiling negotiations in August. Remember how delightful those were? As part of that agreement, pardon me, the 2012 budget was capped at $1 trillion. It represented a discretionary spending cut of only $7 billion, too little in the eyes of the Tea Party crowd. If conservative House members oppose the budget, Republican leaders will have to rely on Democratic votes to get the bill through. Here we go again. 182 Democrats sent a letter to Republican leaders urging them not to include any policy riders, political budget, you know, amendments on hot topics. That, you know, they always try to slide those in without even telling us we're pretty first. Abortion, health care reform, global warming, and financial regulation that are almost always killed in the Senate. They just run the same play every time. So over the next week, the RSC will have to mull what's more important to them, pushing for riders or angling for more cuts. The last two embarrassing episodes that threatened to shutter the government sank congressional approval ratings into the single digits, of course. House Republican leaders sensing voter fatigue are not eager for another round of brinksmanship. Time magazine, I love, ends by saying this could spark panic on Wall Street, of course, if we go there again. You got to love the members of the 112th Congress. When they're not busy bringing the federal government to the brink of closure, they're tanking financial markets. Nicely done. Throw the bums out. Let's throw the bums out the next cycle.
The financial markets are tanking.
It starts tomorrow in Ohio.
I blame President Obama.
Solidarity. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ready? Because I'm about to drop some knowledge. Cute girls are not from Buffalo.
Beg your pardon.
Oh, upstate New York, I think it could be.
I got a letter from Michael, who is was born in North Tonawanda and is driving up from Albany to see the Buffalo Sixers.
Oh, my God.
It's near Teetowaga and Lackawanna.
That's a long ways away.
Yeah, so... All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, by the way, lots of calls this morning on the Austin Sexy Liberal Show coming up Saturday. There are just a very few VIPs. People are saying they can't get meet and grope. Chris, is that what they were telling Rebecca?
Yeah.
They need to go on the website, use the code SEXY on the promo section. There are just a few VIP tickets left. Or call the box office and ask for the VIP tickets at 512-474-LONG. It's at the Long Center there in Austin. Hal and John and Arnold there Saturday. I am coughing up a lung just in case
you're wondering. Those after show fun meet and greets are very...
Meet and gropes, yes.
Lovely. I attended the one in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
and
I believe you were groped for free. I think...
and it turned out one of the people I was talking to was a reporter, and I got to be in the newspaper.
Yes. And that magically appeared in the LA Times all of a sudden.
But she didn't tell me she was a reporter.
Yeah. If people tell tales behind the scenes of the Stephanie Miller Show, we'll know who it is.
Yes.
It's that chatty Edie McClurg. Oh, sorry. I have a little thing.
Spielkes.
You know, wouldn't you know that Edie McClurg would be the helpful Midwestern neighbor that would offer you a lozenge? Which she did.
I have a Ricola.
Which she did.
Ricola.
Well, I can't suck and talk at the same time, although some people would disagree.
Put it in your cheek.
Yeah. The Ponchillo brother.
Put it in your cheek.
What?
All right.
What?
Oh, by the way, they want to know, does VIP tickets give us a chance to grope Roland as well?
Computer says yes.
Yes. Easy gears. I grope him every tour date. Just for fun. Okay. By the way, this just in. Lindsay Lohan's already been in and out of jail. She already
due
went.
To overcrowding.
5 hours.
Yeah. They let her go. Why didn't they let
Hollywood?
There was no room at the inn. She's just like the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Except for the Virgin Park.
In the meth. Fairly certain. Fairly certain virgin mother, not on meth.
Now they had the big Iowa Republican Party hosting their Ronald Reagan dinner up there in Iowa.
Oh yes,
very important state.
Yes,
one would
say.
Sure,
sure.
Who didn't show up?
Who?
Mitt Romney.
Really?
John Huntsman.
Oh no.
Herman Cain.
Oh God, you can't disrespect the Reagan.
No.
Oh, by the way, speaking of disrespecting the Reagan, this is one of America's funniest liberal pranks.
Oh yeah, in Newport Beach, vandals vandalized the Ronald Reagan statue, made it lean left. Seriously, that really happened.
You know, normally I don't
no.
like prank humor. I'm just saying that's kind of a good one if you had to do a prank.
Yeah, I kind of noted the irony of the statue of Ronald Reagan at Reagan National Airport, and he was the guy who fired the
air traffic controllers.
Broke their union.
Yeah, and then air crashes increased the next year. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Dink.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan was released from, just this morning, Jim. She was released from, see, that's why normally you can be late coming into work, because when our celebutards are released from jail is when we have to come into to work.
Yeah.
She went in last night at 8:50, and they think she was out
at
1:40 a.m. That is justice in Hollywood, my friends. Let that be a lesson to you.
Hours. They let her out just after curfew in bars.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
She left in a black Escalade, black Cadillac Escalade. So you can see she's learned her lesson. She's suffering greatly.
Mm.
This is her fifth jail sentence since being arrested twice for drunk driving in 2000. So Edie, she needs. You know what? You need to be her handler or something.
She won't listen to me.
Well, she should. She also, she had time to crash a party over the weekend. Let's see. She crashed the party for Leonardo DiCaprio's J. Edgar movie.
Yep.
It made such a scene that she made A-list attendees uncomfortable. Awkward. Lohan said she was an invited guest to a party for the Clint Eastwood-directed biopic about FBI Director Hoover, and talked her way past security at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. They eventually let her in, but she made everybody uncomfortable. She was aggressive and random, storming around, as is reported by CelebBitchy.com. I don't know why I can't picture, Jim, the conversation between her and Clint Eastwood. Although he always looks like he's disgusted with everything. But
you make me sick.
Get it together. All right. So let's see. There has been a disturbance in the Bieber sphere, as you know.
the Bieber sphere?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Oh, by the way, David Bender was over at my house yesterday. He does not, he's not a believer. He doesn't think that Justin did it.
I don't think so either.
The 20-year-old woman who claims that teen idol Justin Bieber knocked her up originally told her ex-boyfriend that he was the baby daddy and not Bieber, according to the Post.
I think it was Rachel Maddow who really...
Really? Who knocked... Wait, what? I'm confused.
Who can tell them apart?
So have they done a blood test or anything to
not
find
yet.
Out?
Not yet. Mm. He claims that... Or her claim it was the then 16-year-old Bieber. He scoffed at that claim. She says it was during a 30-second sex session in the bathroom of the Staples Center. Who hasn't done that?
Stopwatch?
Who hasn't done that? But.
Boy, she must have been really hot.
He says, I know it's not Justin Bieber. She just wants the money. It's a scam. Really?
You think?
Just think.
Maybe.
You know who is pregnant is Jessica Simpson. And you know why? Because she's very, very farty. I love when fart jokes seep into my celebrity stack, as you know.
How does that happen?
She says she's been farting a lot since she got pregnant. She retweeted a post stating the average person expels flatulence 15 times a day, after which she tweeted the average pregnant woman farts 15 times that. Oh, that's a lot. That's a, you know, now we're into, you know, Camille Grammer's territory.
We don't need that kind of flatulent humor,
we? Yeah, well, it's a news story, Edie, and I feel like
I
need
news.
To. She had suffered flatulence issues in a business meeting in 2010. She apparently let out an incredibly loud fart in front of executives and her mother. She herself has previously confessed to passing a lot of wind, but has claimed it's not a problem because it doesn't smell. Who hasn't used that? I do pass gas a lot, but I guarantee you it smells like roses.
She said that?
Yes. I had a friend that always said that. It doesn't smell. Yes, it does.
I think she's
plants
thinking
just
die. The fertilizer that the flowers are growing in.
Little dogs fall over
in
their faint.
All right. Oh, boy. This is just this insane clown posse in the clown car, Edie, in 2012 on the Republican side. It's just, it gets better and better. Bachman goes after Kane for flip-flops.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
calling the kettle.
While defending Herman Cain against accusations of sexual harassment, that's no big deal to her. Because, you know, she's one of those promise keepers. She believes women should submit or...
Whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, how could you not submit to someone as manly as Marcus?
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
You have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Yeah.
They need to be disciplined.
I would submit to that.
Oh, discipline.
All right,
they
but she...
To be glittered half to death.
But she criticized her rival for changing his position on issues like abortions and his recent misstatements. She also criticized Kane for his misstatement on China's nuclear capabilities because she doesn't ever get anything wrong.
No.
On history or foreign policy or anything. So you can imagine how she's just appalled by his lack of...
She got very excited somebody was wrong.
Nuclear weapons since 1864.
Exactly. That's what Paul Revere was warning the British about,
right.
Was China's nuclear weapons. That's why he had to ring them bells there. He also, she criticized him for changing his 999 plan to 909 after people called out his errors. This is just hilarious. Michelle Pogman talking about someone else's errors. And he said, she said if he wants to become the next president of the United States, he cannot afford to be seen as a flip-flopper. He needs to be principled like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
What a pathetic little pack they have over there. Oh, dear. But as Ann Coulter says, you know, their blacks are better than our blacks, Edie. You know,
look at how they go after Alan West. Look at how they go after Michael Steele. I mean, all of them with wonderful qualities. I mean, that's why our blacks are so much better than their blacks.
Blacks better than yours.
Black.
Mike's
blacks
better than yours.
We have
every
impressive black.
Mike's
blacks
better because he gets...
John
Father's
pizza.
Mike's blacks better than yours.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. T and then a he. Wow, speaking of Mitt Romney, looky here. He just called reducing deficits a moral responsibility. It's our moral responsibility.
Mm.
After proposing $6 trillion in deficits... During an event in New Hampshire, previewing his plan, he's got a plan today?
Yeah.
Yeah. He explained in his view reducing the deficit is a moral responsibility. However, Ron may need to spend more time in an ethics course. He envisions federal spending at 20% of GDP, but his tax plan, as we found, will raise less than 17% of GDP in revenue. The result of Romney's plan would, quote-unquote, be a continued unsustainable deficits and more debt. In fact, Romney's plan would yield approximately $6.5 trillion in deficits from 2013
through 2020. He's not good at math, is he?
No, not really. Nor a strong swimmer.
Romney has come out in favor of personhood, the
idea of
granting full legal rights to fertilized eggs, a plan that would not only eliminate abortion, but could outlaw most forms of contraception as well.
Zygotes are people, my friend. Yes, they are. And corporations.
Zygotes.
Yes. That's exactly the same position he had when he was more pro-choice than Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy, when he was running in Massachusetts. Exactly. Very consistent. What did he say last week, Jim, that we laughed? He said, I don't think I could be more consistent as a person.
I couldn't be. I'm as consistent as a human being could ever be. Wow.
Consistently flip-flopping.
The revenue Romney envisions in his plan is below the level suggested by the House Republican budget, which abolished Medicare as we know it, slash Medicaid, and still didn't balance the budget till 2040. So it's just like that, only even worse.
Yay!
Yay for the whole Republican field. Yay. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Yay, it's fun. Back with the remaining moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like
Stephanie Miller?
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller?
Don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you, baby?
Yeah, baby, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. All right. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Edie McClurg, actress extraordinaire, Edie, live in studio with us for another delightful Mondays with McClurg. You look like you're playing a newscaster with all your commentating notes there.
I'm finding things as we're going along here, and that more than 650,000 new accounts have been opened in credit unions and taken out of the big banks.
Yeah, power to the people.
In 1 month.
We were just talking to Ali Velshi about that this morning, about how amazing. It may seem like a small thing, but getting Bank of America to back down, you know, one person had this idea, it went viral, and they backed down. However, here's another headline that's not so encouraging. Gawker, how American banks are engineering the next apocalypse again.
Great.
Remember credit default swaps, AIG, hopelessly entangled exotic financial instruments tied to esoteric asset valuations that caused cascading defaults in 2008 and threatened to tank the global financial system unless taxpayers ate all the losses? Remember how we reformed Wall Street to make sure that never repeated itself? Someone tell Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and Morgan Stanley, because they've teed the whole damn thing up again, this time in Europe. Oh. American banks have spent the last 3 years replaying precisely the same malevolent game that led to the 08 crisis, but instead of playing with real estate, they're playing with European bonds. We could have an AIG moment in Europe, according to one financial advisor. Let's say Greece defaults, causing runs on other periphery debt that would trigger collateral requirements from the sellers of CDs. One or more cannot meet the margin calls. There might be AIG's hiding out there. So that's to me what this whole Occupy thing is about. It's calling for real systemic change and not just, around the edges.
And some people need to go to prison.
Yes, that would also be good. You know, whenever I get an email that says Stefan the pukes, I know that it's not from a fan.
No. I am not one of your fans!
Mooks. They're mooks. Don writes, Stefan the pukes, do you guys and your so-called expert guests even listen to Sean and Rush?
Well, Yes.
I do. You make me.
Yes.
And it makes us sick.
Or do you listen to blurbs so you don't actually know what they're talking about and then play dumb?
You haven't listened to the show, have you?
Computer says no.
You play clips of them all the time.
Yes, the whole point is I listen so you don't have to. I actually call you, don't I, occasionally and say you need to get this Rush Limbaugh clip because I listen every day.
That's right.
Yes, I do listen. That's their favorite. You don't even listen to the... Yes, I do. And that's Eric Bollert's job. They listen all day.
Here's the clip. Here's
so
what he said.
Right. So they're not taking things out of context.
Here's the clip, and here's the context.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, the failed radio man from Cape Girardeau, yeah. Missouri.
Yes, exactly, my friends. Jeff Christie was my original DJ name.
I don't know why I love this story in the Daily Beast, why the GOP should panic. It's that scene in Airplane where it's time to assume the crash positions. It really is such a... Can I have some comedy music? Because it is, it's better than ever, I think, for comedy, but it, for the Republican Party, not so much. One GOP frontrunner is accused of several instances of sexual harassment. The other has managed to make his candidacy as exciting as coffin shopping. A third leading candidate spent this week trying to convince people he wasn't drunk during a speech in New Hampshire. Not a single one of them, not Herman Cain, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry. Best say badly weakened Barack Obama in the latest polls, and yet our betters in the GOP establishment, the same crew who brought us Bob Dole, John McCain, and the PR strategy for the Iraq War, inform us the Republican primary voters are happier than ever with their choices. There's a deep unease among activist conservatives, the sort who trudge the polls in the bitter winters of Iowa and New Hampshire, about the state of the race. At several recent functions in Washington, attendees expressed great enthusiasm for unseating Obama, but hardly anybody was thrilled with their likely standard bearers. Is it time for the GOP to start panicking?
Computer says yes.
What did this piece ask? Cain's tortured and contradictory response to sexual harassment allegations was made even worse by the reckless, not ready for primetime effort at deflection. Rick Perry was behind this. No, it was Rahm Emanuel. No, it was a massive media conspiracy. No, it was Professor Plum with a lead pipe in the billiards room. That Cain remains floating atop the GO field is less a tribute to his staying power than a cruel indictment of the remaining field of frivolous flops. When you cannot lure voters away from a man who's accused of several counts of disreputable behavior and who seems to lack a basic understanding of many issues, from Israeli-Palestinian crisis to his own tax plan, you've got yourself a problem. Thank you, Daily Beast. Here's my favorite part, though. It means the Republican nominating process may take some surprising turns. Oh. I'm just wondering what else could happen. You know what my dream is, Chris.
What?
Because, you know, Michelle Bachmann was the one that said, we can't afford to have any surprises with our candidate this year. I think Marcus Bachmann is going to come out of the closet on Acme roller skates to Xanadu. I think that's what's going to happen. Like Olivia Newton-John Xanadu, just on rocket Acme rocket roller skates. Just whee!
A place where nobody
dares. Just saying. Could happen. I love this. So this is how bad things are, Jim. Since the GOP debates commenced, Newt Gingrich has steadily crept back into the double digits in most polls.
It's inevitable, frankly.
I mean, if Newt Gingrich can start to look popular and likable, you are screwed.
I'm going to get to fly at the front of a plane if it kills me, frankly. I just want to fly at the front of the plane, frankly.
Well, it may be a moot point because there is an asteroid coming close to Earth this week.
Yes. Really?
So
yes.
We may all just go, please.
Well, it's going to be within the distance between the Earth and the Moon, closer to the Moon than the Earth. So it's
could bounce off the Moon and hit
the
Earth.
No, Edie, I'm not certain that was based on science, what you just said.
Well, there is.
Look at the guy who told me.
It's about aircraft carrier-sized meteor that's going to pass.
All right, it's only a quarter of a mile wide.
You had a little Michelle Bachmann moment there.
I did.
A scientist told me that it could hit the moon and bounce off. Okay.
Back shot.
Wow. It looks like a very bad pimple.
Some more embarrassing news out of Texas, besides Rick Perry's drunken little comedy routines. Islamophobic Texas gun instructor, all Muslims have sworn to the annihilation of the United States. A state-certified gun instructor in Texas doubled down on his Islamophobic comments he made in a radio ad. Crockett Keller.
Oh, he's good.
Crockett
of Mason,
Keller.
Texas. They all sound like Mason. Some sort of characters, yeah. He said in the ad he refuses to teach Muslims. I'd give up my license to teach before I'll teach them, he says, because he considers all Muslims enemies. We're going to mess with Texas Saturday. We're going to Austin. And, Jim, I think we are going to have to bring Schwarzenegger to get them back in the chopper. We're going to airlift Austin out of Texas.
Get back in the chopper.
Yeah.
That's a big chopper.
We're taking you back to California. Get in the chopper, Austin. Seriously. There's no reason for you to be in that state.
Take the remnants of the Berlin Wall and put it around Austin just to keep them safe.
Something. Oh, hey, just when you thought the Herman Cain was... embarrassing. GOP is the new black, according to a billboard. Gawker says, hey there, African Americans. Did you know there's a whole political party devoted more or less entirely to increasing the wealth of the richest people in the country by preying on the racism of middle and working class white folks? And if that doesn't convince you to vote for Republicans, what about these snazzy billboards? That's right. According to these billboards, which can now be seen in Texas, South Carolina, and Ohio, GOP is the new black. And Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican.
What?
They're the work of Apostle Claver, a black conservative activist. By the way, Martin Luther King, not a Republican.
No.
I've heard right-wingers try to say that before. No.
He was for union and labor rights and against the Vietnam War and on.
Yeah. So, nice try. But no. All right. That's it for us. I'd like to thank the delightful Edie McClurg, Jim Ward, executive producer Crystal Boy, and associate producer Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow for David Schuster and Charlie Pierce on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.